And good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our July 1st 30 Minutes of Wisdom from the Enlightened Networking Organization and Group, a.k.a. Gregory and Robin. And we are so honored and pleased to be able to provide this space to bring forth thought leaders and speakers, trainers, and people just have a passion and a vision to share. And we've got one of those gentlemen on the phone with us here today. And I'd like to turn this call over to my beloved partner and wife, Robin.
Thank you, Gregory, and thank you for all you do that makes the technology work so smoothly on this. So good morning, and thanks for being with us this morning. And we do have Doug Krug with us. You want to say a quick hello, Doug?
Good morning, everybody.
All right. Well, there is a reunion happening here, and I keep saying every week how much I love this. I just love it more and more because this is what I love to do is share these treasures with you. And I have a very special friend on the phone, Genevieve Joshua, and if it wasn't for a phone call that I made 20 years ago, I believe, because this book kept showing up in my life, and when things happen three times, it's time to pay attention. And this book called Enlightened Leadership showed up in my life three times in 1 week. And I had just moved to Colorado. I couldn't find the book anywhere. I got on the phone. I figured out where they were. I made a phone call. Genevieve Joshua answered the phone, and the rest is history. And we have a reunion here this morning. JJ and I have been friends for all these years, as I have been with Doug Krug, and they have both been my mentors, my friends, catalysts in the world for great, great change. And so I want to do a brief intro of Doug, and then I'm going to get things started. And it's, you know, once in a while there's someone who's willing to step up. You know, I've been thinking so much, Doug, about this because, you know, Doug's background, he's co-authored two books. He's got a new book coming out this fall. And he's co-written Enlightened Leadership, Getting to the Heart of Change, Leadership Made Simple, and his third book, The Missing Piece in Leadership, How to Create the Future You Want, is going to be released early this fall. And Doug's, you know, bio is massive. He works at the executive level with major organizations, working with executive teams to help them focus and align to do their real work in the world. And, you know, the list of clients is huge and very impressive, from the FBI and the Library of Congress and Johns Hopkins and the IRS and the U.S. Navy. And it's not just a list of big organizations. You know, most of us think when we hear of these massive organizations, it's overwhelming to think about even creating change. And Doug, you know, takes it on with gusto and realizes that change happens at one by one as we each individually change. And if we're going to, you know, change the direction and course of whether it be the healthcare system or the U.S. Navy or NASA or Boeing or all these organizations he's worked with, the Pittsburgh Steelers, it requires an individual making a shift. And one of the things I just absolutely love about Doug is his willingness to have the courage to look someone in the eye and from a pure heart place tell the truth about what he sees and be the catalyst for the change to happen. So I'm going to open things up and just say that the work that I got to do with Genevieve and Doug through his book, Enlightened Leadership, and through the 14 years I was involved with the organization has changed my life dramatically and the lives of all those that are in contact with me because of the concept we're going to talk about this morning, which is focus. And Doug, you said something great yesterday, so let's start this out with, you know, people say that we need more focus, and you answered, well, we're always focused. So you want to go a little bit about defining focus and what we're... What? Are you with us? Did we lose Doug?
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Oh, good.
Yes.
Thought I'm going to have to do this, and I'm going, no, 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 no. So focus, what it, you know, you mentioned yesterday that, you know, focus isn't the problem. We're always focused.
No. It's one of the most misunderstood concepts in our lives that affects us every day. It's one of the three things that I believe have become invisible through familiarity. We talk about focus. I hear people all the time say something like, get focused. I meet with leaders who say, my people aren't focused. I watch sporting events and they interview the winning coach. And the comment is, well, we were really focused. What isn't realized is the losing team was also focused. The difference between the winning and the losing team wasn't whether or not they were focused. It was what they were focused on. And we've given up our conscious awareness of this one part of our lives that has so much of an impact on everything we produce every day. Because it isn't a question of whether or not. It is what we're focused on. And how we can tell is by what we produce. What we produce is the result of how we are managing, being aware of, or conscious of our focus. So it's, and I hear people all the time say, get focused. Well, that is such a useless comment. It is absolutely no residual value. If we say, what do we need to be focused on now? That's a huge distinction than saying, get focused.
A sigh of relief on that one because, you know, that's been embedded in me so much. So there's different kinds of focuses you're talking about. Keep going.
Well, it's what we... There are three factors, real simply, about how the mind works regarding focus. One is we can only focus on one thing at a time. We can only give our full attention to one thing at a time. That's pretty simple. That's like a duh. Oh, yeah, okay. The second one, though, which is dependent on the first and is much more important than the fact that we can only focus on one thing at a time, is the thing we are focused on is what we're going to get more of or move toward. So, for instance, if we're to the degree we're focused on what we don't want or don't like about how it is, what are we likely to create more of?
Hmm.
What we don't want or don't like or what's wrong with the way it is. And we're getting better and better at causing and creating more of what we don't want. One of the things I do when I work with a team is that one of the exercises I send them out to do is somebody who you really are close to, ask them two questions. First, ask them what they want, and then ask them what they don't like or don't want. And the assignment is to come back and share which of those two questions this person had the easiest time answering. It's duh. It is always what is wrong, what I don't like, what I don't want. And then we wonder why we keep getting so much of it. We have very little practice in getting clear as to what we want. And until we are clear as to what we want, we can't get to the next question, which is perhaps even more important, which is, how do I get it? It really is that simple.
It's simple, and you mentioned, I think, one of the most important parts is the conscious part, because until
yes.
we have that conscious awareness that what we're doing is focusing on what we don't want. So as a leader, what is one of the things that we can do to support ourselves to be more conscious and our people to shift into more of what we do want?
Well, first, let's start with the self, because what we get from our people is going to be a reflection of what we're modeling, not what we're teaching or what we're talking about. So it all has to do and to start with self. And my lovely bride, Therese, came up for the new book with an acronym, AMP, A-M-P, the three keys to having more, creating more of what we want, having more satisfaction on the journey. The A is for awareness, the M is for mindfulness, and the P is for presence, or being in the present. And the first clue is energy. I mean, think about this. When you're at your best, when things are going well, everything seems to fall into place, what is our energy level? I've never gotten a different answer. The answer is always, oh, it's high. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. Absolutely. Then the times when things don't seem to work, the times when we seem to be struggling and efforting most, what is our energy level? And again, the answer has always been the same. And this is over 20 years of asking, is low. So one of the first clues for us is struggle and effort, low energy. It is a clue that the way we're looking at this is least likely to get us to what we want. It's the first indicator of awareness that there's an option. And then that brings up the question, where is my attention right now? Where do I want it to be? And it's the same with our people. When their energy level is down, you can pretty well bet the ranch where their attention is focused. It's going to be on something wrong, something they don't like, or something they feel a need to protect themselves from, like perhaps their boss, the person they're living with, working with, etc. Because to the degree we're in a mode of having to protect and defend ourselves, our energy level is predictably going to be down.
That is such a gift to have it be so simple to just notice and be aware of energy and then know that we've... That's why so many people get so focused on being in the place of gratitude to shift the energy, that really helps. And I know
Absolutely.
You've done so much work with so many different kinds of organizations, and it doesn't matter, but you seem to take on the big ones like the U.S. government, you know, and the healthcare system, and you have this beautiful story. Would you be willing to share on how you helped make that shift? Because we talked about that a little bit yesterday, because I think that, you know, whether it be the Pittsburgh Steelers or the organ donors, you know, it doesn't really matter, but how it touches lives. And so could you share one of those stories? It'll give people a really wonderful sense of the impact we can have with that little shift.
Let's take organ donation, and the statement from Ken Morizuga, who's the Assistant Surgeon General, was that after decades of only 1 to 2% improvement in lives saved or quality of lives improved through organ tissue donation, after decades of only 1 to 2% per annum, we have experienced a 30% improvement in the last 5 years. How did that happen? By shifting the attention of the entire healthcare community, everybody who was involved in anything to do with organ donation, by bringing them together in forums. We call them learning collaboratives, about 1,000 to 1,500 people at a time, and asking them questions, causing them to relook at what they were doing and how they were doing it. They were experts. For example, when this initiative started, there were only 26 hospitals in the country who had a consistently sufficient donation rate to make a difference. 75% was the number. So the goal we set out was to see how many hospitals out of 5,800 that we could have achieved this 75% or better consistent donation rate. What this means, of all the potentials that come into that facility or any given facility, that 75% of them were leveraged into donations, and that would impact many lives. There are over 500 hospitals at this point who that rate. Now, these are good people. These are committed people, caring people, and have a real belief in what they're doing and the difference donation makes. But they had inherited a set of behaviors and habits that were no malicious intent, but impacting the results, causing the results to be less than desired. And when we're talking about cardiologists, neurologists, ICU docs, ER docs, their nursing counterparts, hospital administrators, ethics committees, the entire spectrum of the healthcare industry, when they started looking at how they were doing it and then looking at what is it we want as an outcome, saving more lives, improving quality, what could we do more of, better, or differently? They started finding answers that they never knew were imaginable, hence a 30% improvement in only 5 years.
Wow. I'm hearing a similar thing come through you in that shift in the quality of questions that we're living in personally and organizationally and with the people we know and love, from, you know, what we don't want to what we do want. And how can we make it even better? And I know by being in your presence for so long, I watched and experienced, you know, where you come from is that you know that people inherently have their own answers. And I know you work with great leaders that influence thousands and thousands of people. As most of these people on the line here are solopreneurs, entrepreneurs in direct selling, network marketing, and we have teams and we have ourselves. How can we take these principles and focus to really improve our own lives? And you know, I know you love to share that Einstein quote about the significant problem. So how can we take this to our own lives with, you know, watching how we can get more of what we want?
Well, a starting place would be the understanding that we wouldn't have so many problems to solve if we didn't create so many. So
that was profound.
So much of the mindset that we have inherited, and by the way, this is one of the challenges. Most of the limitations in thinking that pervade our culture, we didn't consciously choose. We inherited them. This is how we learned. For example, when something isn't working, the first question that is often asked is, how come it's not working? The person asking that question isn't a bad person or a malicious person. This is the question that we inherited, rather than the simple question, how do we get it to work? See, we spend so much time, problem solving has become the number one problem in America today. Wait.
I think we need to, would you say that again and slower? Because I think that is such an important line for me to digest a little bit more, and maybe some other people.
Problem solving has become the number one problem in America today. It is the big drive is to find problems that we can solve. People feel invalidated even if they don't have a problem to solve. We honor the people who solve the problem, and in our organizations today, we hardly notice the people who just get things done well daily. But let someone solve a problem, and oh boy, accolades. Well, if we didn't have so many problems, if we would honor more of the people who just came to work every day and got it done well, and learn more about what they do and how they do it, we would have fewer problems to solve. If more people were doing more of the right things, there would be less things to fix. But we've created a society that is almost invalidated if they don't have something wrong to put their attention on. It is the number one problem in America today.
Well, so our values are a little askew here.
Oh, our values are totally askew. I mean, is the outcome we want more things working well or less things broken? See, our whole goal is to find what's broken so we can fix it. Yet if we had more things working well, more people doing more of the right things, more people making more of the right decisions every day, there would be less that needs to be fixed.
I'm just feeling more energized just listening to that. And I know you share this wonderful story about being on a roll that I think can help a lot of us with our focus. Would you share a little bit about that? Because it fits right in here.
Okay. Well, there are times in life when it's working, and there are times in life when it's not. I mean, we can all pretty well make a case for that either way. The challenge is we spend so much of our time understanding why it's not working when it isn't. In fact, how many people out there listening have ever been in a meeting where things were going well and the leader said, okay, everybody, let's take a moment here. What are we doing to cause it to go so well? We have such a low level of understanding of what causes it to work when it is. The number one belief, the most prevailing belief about being in the zone, being on a roll, is that it's going to end. And it doesn't have to. The reason it ends is the moment the focus goes to, oh, what might be going wrong. The first indicator that something isn't working, all of the attention goes to, oops, as a sign that it has to end. That's the reason the role ends. We have the capacity as human beings to be on the role virtually all the time, to cause it working virtually all the time. And we gave it up in the name of conditioning. We inherited a conditioning that what it is about is finding what's wrong so we can fix it. Focusing, it's like trying to drive a car by steering out of the rear view, using the rear view mirror to steer a car.
So what I'm hearing is that as we raise our awareness and become more mindful and present, and it sounds like we're developing a new muscle, because the majority of the world around us doesn't seem to have this muscle. So as leaders, we need to be a little different. And you mentioned, you know, two of the three things, and I think this leads into the third thing. You know, we can only focus on one thing at a time. We get more of what we focus on, and number three is what?
Well, it's so simple. When do this with a group, the slide that goes up for this says, don't look at my shoes. That's the slide. And so I ask, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you see this slide? And the answer is instant. I want to look at your shoes. This, again, is such a... The conditioning has so overwhelmed common sense. Any parent who's listening to this who has ever told a child something like, don't spill your milk, how long did it take? Because I know the milk got spilled. The question isn't if. The question is, how long did it take? Because the way the human mind works, we cannot, there's no imagery of what we don't want or what we don't want. So when we say something, i.e. to a child, what not to do, don't spill your milk, since there's no image for not spilling the milk, what do they picture themselves doing in their mind? And it, by default, becomes the goal. Worry is a prayer for what we don't want.
It's so true. Yes.
It's a clarification beyond doubt of what we don't want. Again, sports teams. I hear so many sports teams at the end of a game say something like, that's exactly what we didn't want to have happen. Guess what they were putting their attention on? Not what they wanted to happen, but what they didn't want to happen. That's one of the places, simple, daily places, that any one of us can have an impact on awareness in our lives and producing more of what we want is to be aware of where our attention is focused. Well, in the new book, we introduce a concept called the awareness quotient. You've heard of IQ? This is AQ. AQ. You may be familiar with the term from the past of the haves and the have-nots.
Sure.
Remember when that was it was a differentiator back a couple of decades? There were those people who had wealth and they didn't. And the differentiator was between the haves and the have-nots. I believe the differentiator today and in the years ahead is between the awares and the aware-nots.
Wow.
The edge is going to be through conscious awareness, reclaiming something we have, exercising that muscle and bringing it to the forefront, because any answers we need to produce, create, generate more of what we want, the answers are available once we shift where we put our attention, and the primary tool is questions. So, Robin, I have an offer for you.
Please.
I've updated the three chapters from the first book, Enlightened Leadership. I've updated the three chapters on how to ask more of what we call effective questions. And I would offer those to you electronically, and then you can distribute them to...
Oh, that's fabulous. I would be thrilled if people... email us, we can send those out. That's it's so hard. But 30 minutes of wisdom, and we're getting close to that. And so I want to make sure people know how to get more of what Doug's talking about, because it has changed my life dramatically. These simple and profound awarenesses of focus and how we can bring out the best in ourselves and bring out the best in people using these really simple, focuses of awareness, mindfulness, presence, realizing we only get more of what we focus on, and that, you know, what do we want? Living, if we use that question more. So Doug has his website's under construction, and it'll be up in the near future, but people can actually pre-order his new book by calling at 303-993-3173. And there's a significant discount, and it includes shipping. I believe it's only $17 if you want to pre-order the book, Leadership, the Missing Piece. His other books are available in bookstores and Amazon or through you. Is that correct?
Yes. The Leadership Made Simple is only available through me at this moment.
At this moment, because it's not out yet. And
no, that one is out, but it is still only available through me at this moment.
Okay, great. And Doug's business is EL Solutions, so if you know people that are wanting to get executive coaching for top executive teams to shift the focus and alignment for organizations, I'm just thrilled that you were willing to take the time to be with us today, because we're not your typical audience, but I know you've got this huge, generous heart, and this work has been such an impact to me. I'm so grateful. Any final words from you, Doug, before we close for our 30 minutes this morning?
Just real simply that all the answers we need to get anything we ever want are available to us. All we need to do is ask. And
wow.
That's what we have, I'll say, quote unquote, forgotten or been conditioned, is simply getting clear as to what we want and asking for how to get it.
The power of the effective question. And in Doug's book, Enlightened Leadership, which he said he's offering to us an electronic version, we'll have available if anyone wants to email us at the address that you have. And I just want to do a quick notice that next week Rhonda Johnson's going to be with us, a complete shift in focus. Rhonda's an expert in the tax game. She goes, tax is a game and we play to win. She works with people in our profession of direct selling, network marketing, entrepreneurs, and is just a total joy and delight to share with us next week. So we're going to complete our recording right now, and then we'll open up for a few minutes of Q&A if you want to stay on the line. I want to thank all of you that chose to be with us, whether in live this morning or on recording. So we'll take a quick pause, and then we'll open up the lines.
And while we're pausing, I'll just jump in. This is Gregory, and I just want to thank you, Doug. Your philosophy is kind of mind-bending in some regards, and I was thinking, you know, this whole concept of maintaining a forward focus, when Robin first shared it with me, it was like an aha moment in my life, you know, and how we talk about, you know, some people are just naturally backward-focused, and I started seeing them and realized some of those were my friends and family, you know, And I was thinking that your whole philosophy about maintaining a forward focus was really the, in some regards, the predecessor and maybe the foundation for the concept in the book and the movie that everybody's familiar with, The Secret, and, you know, the law of attraction. And that's, you know, just so much in alignment with, as you were saying earlier, you know, America and the world is waking up, whether people will accept it or not. And as we wake up and realize we're authors of our own destiny and where we put our attention is where we go, what we get. So the whole concept of the forward focus is so simple, so profound. And I sometimes use the metaphor analogy, and I heard you using it too, is, you know, if people focus too much on the rearview mirror, they'll run smack into the, you know, into the future, and it won't be pretty. But if you got your eyes open, it's good to glance in the mirror every once in a while to see where you've been, but you want to focus on where you want to go. So, you know, I just love your work, and we embrace and try to use it daily. And I think, you know, being on the call today, maybe it'll wake up some other folks and make it available to them too.
It makes a big difference in relationships with those that are most important in our lives. And it does show up in our life all the time. So I'm so deeply grateful that you've been with us this morning, Doug, and I just, your work and who you be in the world has made a huge, huge difference to me. And I know we started our conversation with be out there, engage, do something to make a difference, and be that model. So we'll open up the lines and see if anyone has any comments or questions for Doug for a few minutes here. So stand by, please. And the lines are now open. So has anyone wanted to say anything to Doug?
This is JJ. Hey, Doug. Just wanted to thank you again for the refresher and the reminder of such foundational truth, how we guard our thoughts and how we manage our thoughts. I've got a very important call today at noon, and I just feel all revved up and ready for that opportunity call. So thanks, Doug. It was great to hear you again. And I had an opportunity to teach side by side with Doug many years ago, and it was a great opportunity for me.
And me.
And me.
And I have an acronym for you, Doug. When Robin was talking about you with gusto, and I said, that's it. Doug is like gusto in action. You're like in the Webster's definition of gusto. And I have an acronym for your name, Doug. Delivering opportunity with understanding and gusto.
That's great.
So thanks for delivering the opportunity of reframing my mind. I've got to run off, Doug, but I hope we can be in touch a little bit later. And just great to get in touch with that profound understanding again and again and again, like three times a second.
Thank you, JJ. And send me an email or something so I know how to talk with you.
Well, no kidding. It's been a while, so we will manage that.
Say hi to Deb.
All righty. Bye-bye for now. Thanks, Robin and Gregory.
Thanks, JJ. Okay, this is so. Thank you guys for indulging us in our wonderful reunion here. A few more comments or questions for Doug?
Well, Doug, this is Amy in Oregon, and I just want to thank you so much because your message today couldn't have been more perfectly timed. And I'm really looking forward to seeing those questions and how to focus on forward motion. And I completely agree with everything you had to say and would like to live it more.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. And it is so simple to do once the awareness is there. Once the awareness is there, it's like it's a fast-moving train. Once it gets rolling, the momentum comes very quickly. So look forward to sharing this with you, and I'll get it out to Robin in a little bit so she can get it out to y'all.
Great.
Who's next? We'll take one more.
Well, Robin, I will say, Doug, I haven't heard of you, but I have now, and it's like we all know, you can't read all possible books you read last week in a lifetime, so you got to be very selective in where you get your information. But you've added a lot of meaning to my life. I'm Gail Smith from Cincinnati, Smith Foundation, but in terms of reaffirming what my journey and DNA instinctively allows me to do. I just do exactly what you're talking about. I'm just blessed with a hell of a journey. And
yes.
And what you're saying, though, the reaffirmation is what I want to thank you for. And now I can gain greater meaning by getting your work and understanding to a greater degree. So for that, I'm very grateful.
Yeah, thank you very much. And you just validated from earlier that when it's working, this is what we're doing. We just haven't spent a lot of time understanding what we do in a day when it works. The times that things are going smoothly, the times we're getting the results that we want, it's not an accident. It's the things that we're doing that cause that. And the better understanding we get as to what those are and fill more of our day doing more of the things that work. And that's what you just explain. This is what you're already doing. It's not rocket science. It's reconnecting with it. One of the things I say when I work with a team is, today is not a training, it's a remembering.
That's a great line to complete with. Well, once again, thank you all for being with us, and a special thank you for Doug Krug for reminding us of what we already know and sharing your wisdom and living with gusto the way you do. That just came out of me, and I'm going to own that one.
Fun.
It is fun, and it is who you are, and I know the impact that you have because of your willingness to live full out, constantly learning, growing, you know, stepping in territory that has never been stepped in before, feeling no limits, and making a huge, huge impact on our planet. So thank you, and a joy to have you with us and the wisdom that you shared this morning with our Enlightened Networking growing community. So thanks, everybody. We'll complete our call right now. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.